This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 86 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. Today we chat with Miss Southeast Leatherfest 2015. Here's your hosts, Woody and Chrissy.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting across the table is Chrissy. Hey, Chrissy.
Hey, Woody, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been a long time since I've sat in this chair, and I missed it.
You were hiding.
I was busy.
Ooh, she's a busy girl. Well, she was busy back in June when we all went down to Atlanta to the Southeast Leatherfest, and Miss Chrissy, our Miss Chrissy, was one of the judges. That was so cool.
It was. It was super awesome. It was a total surprise.
And as such, we elected a new Miss Southeast Leather, and she is on the phone.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chrissy?
I'm doing terrific, and I should officially announce your title, Miss Self 2015. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I've known you a super long time, and I was delighted to see that you won this title. Tell my friend Woody and our listeners a little bit about you as you've traveled through the kink scene. I've known you since about 2008, and you were Orange then, not the color.
Right.
Well, Orange, the name, the title. And that had a meaning. Now you're Miss Self. What happened between then and now?
Yeah, but I want to know what the meaning of orange is.
Orange is cool, yeah. Tell us.
Okay, so when I started out online, you had to pick a screen name, and so I picked Orange the Fruit, not the colors of fruit, because it's hard to get into, yet worth the effort. I was in my 20s and dumb.
Oh, no, I like that. Hard to get into, but worth it.
Right, and then, you know, once I started my walk in kink and found the public scene, I met my first leather person, and they were like, oh, you're orange, honey. Do you know what that means? And I was like, no, what's it mean? It means that you're down with anything, anywhere, anytime. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I ran into the dungeon, and I got set on fire, had a little wax play, got the fuck beat out of me, and had needles put through my nipple. And I walked back up to him, and I said, I guess I'm going to try to earn that name, right?
I think you earned it that night, actually.
I think it's fitting for you, knowing what I know of you. So, Miss Orange.
So, yeah. I came in, I first heard the words BDSM 24, I think. I was out dancing, and some guy put his arm around me, and he had this bomber jacket on. I looked back, and he had on this skinny tie, and I was like, oh, my God, the 80s called. They want their jacket back. And I went, well, I mean, it was like 2000. So I walked off the dance floor, went to the bathroom, went to the bar, was ordering a drink. The hand comes back over me with a 20, and he leans into my ear, and he whispers, if I keep dancing like that, he's going to spank me. And I asked him if he pulled hair, too.
Ooh.
And he did. Right. And so he is the one who groomed me, and I was groomed for MS, not SM. And after a marriage that failed, an MS marriage that failed, I went looking for the scene, and my first night out, I thought I was going to a munch. I didn't realize I was going to a dungeon.
Where were you when you were experiencing all this?
What?
Where were you living?
I was in Charlotte, but I started out in Greensboro at La Fortress.
There's a pretty big kink scene over in that part of the country, isn't there?
Yes, no, maybe.
Yes,
like, it looks like it's big, but it's the same 50 people. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you're very active 50 kinksters, I must say.
Oh, we are, and Charlotte has exploded in the last 7 to 8 years. It has. It really has. There was nothing when I started in Charlotte. There was K-Pets, Cloak, and Lynx, and Fun Freaky People was just then dismantling, and Purgatory was, you know, kind of off again, on again, and so there, it was very limited in Charlotte, and now you can, like, throw a dart at the board and find something kinky to do every day of the week, it seems like.
That's how it seems from what I view in my perspective over here in Nashville, following things in your part of the world. Now, you said when you were experiencing all of these things and you met your first, I guess it would be your first master, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that was over in North Carolina?
It was in Charlotte where I met him.
But
he was... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask... You were over there in Charlotte, but it wasn't a leather relationship. It was MS.
No, and it wasn't a public relationship. It was in home, and we did our own thing. So I had no idea that people actually went to classes and practiced SM without sets and all these things. I had no clue. I just thought that, you know, you went and you met a partner, and you had these relationships. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Oh, and my, what a world it is.
It's fun.
Yes, it is. So that was quite a while ago that you did that, wasn't it? About, what, 15 years ago?
That was my first relationship. Yeah, 15. Yeah, I'm old. Jesus.
Me too. I'm going to be 55 tomorrow, dear.
No way! Happy birthday!
Thank you. I feel old as dinosaur dung, but you know.
Oh, please. You look amazing.
Thank you.
I thought that we're in your early 40s.
I bow to you. I guess my next question is, so you've progressed along this path. You started off like so many folks do, online, and then get curious and meet some people, and you met your first master, and... Did you think that you, now that you look back, that you did a whole bunch of things wrong?
Oh, everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. I'm the poster child for don't be like me because I fucked up.
You know, a lot of people say that. That's how they learn. It's a good thing that you didn't get injured or, you know, emotionally or physically hurt in that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you've progressed further, you went from that and moved to... What was your next big voyage out into the kink scene?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Okay, after you you and your master ended that relationship, and you were kind of a free agent, I guess, for lack of a better term.
That's when I actually became public and started understanding that SM was a thing, because again I was groomed for MS and. So it's more about control and obedience than pain and pleasure.
Mm.
So I think that was my next move, was learning about SM. And honestly, I think once I hit the public scene, I kind of grew up a lot. And so everything changed at that point.
How do
everything.
You, how do you identify as a switch? I mean, I know you're very dominant at times, but you've been in an MS relationship. So, I'm just how would you identify yourself? I hate labels. I know they suck.
Yeah, I hate labels, and right now I can't answer that question. A lot of things are changing. You know, if you had asked me 6 months ago, I would have said I'm a dominant, and I'm exploring a relationship on the bottom half of the equation, shockingly enough. And I actually am not dominating or topping anybody. I'm not exploring any other relationships. So I don't know where that's going to leave.
Hmm.
I've got no clue.
Well, good. Good. You're
right?
Venturing off into a new direction. It's always good. How much are you going to learn on this little trip, I wonder? You identify as a leather woman, that's for sure. And
that's absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I've known you for a bit of time. And even though we live pretty far apart from each other, I've always liked you and watched kind of just to see what's going on in that part of the world. And I know there's been some stuff that's happened that's been pretty unpleasant over there, and you had some real struggles, and I was kind of worried about you for a little bit. But you bounced back, and you bounced back in a really great way, and when I saw you itself, it was such a pleasure to see you and to hear you speak and just to feel the really good stuff coming off of you, the really good energy that you were projecting. And What actually would you think made you embrace leather as a lifestyle for you as a person?
I don't know that you necessarily embrace it as a lifestyle or as a person. I think that you just find it and something resonates with you and you realize you're coming home. I don't think that there's this, there might be an epiphany of, oh my God, this is what I've been missing, but I don't know that there's this, oh, I want to learn how to be leather.
I agree with you. Yeah, you can't learn how to be it. You either are or you're not.
Right. The first self I went to was a fluke, and I said that in my speech. I was like, in 2009, I was invited to self, and I didn't know what I was getting into. But when I walked through the doors, I found home, you know, and I found all the things that make me feel good and make me feel passionate and make me stand a little taller and breathe a little easier. And it was just coming home. You know, even after relationship breakup, yeah, I walked away from my leather for a while until I could walk with honor and integrity and do that in a manner that felt good to me. And even when I wasn't, air quotes, walking a leather path, I was still leather.
Right.
I was just not wearing it, and I was not participating in activities for leather folk.
I guess maybe it would be safe to say that you were taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and regrouping.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's certainly understandable, and, you know, who could fault you for that? Life can be difficult, you know?
Absolutely.
Bucks with you in bad ways sometimes. I've got your FET page up, and and FET Life, I'm looking at the orange page.
Oh Lord.
what and your orientation is queer. I didn't know that you felt that way, that calls you, and it's interesting for me to learn.
One thing, would you explain queer, because it means different things to a lot of different people?
Good question.
And basically, I really don't care what the package is. I care what's inside the package, you know, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're transgender, you know, whoever you are. If you speak to me on an energetic level, then I'm going to speak back and we'll deal with whatever the package is later, you know? So basically, when I say I'm queer, that's what I mean.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
And that's a good explanation. I think a lot of people see it that way, but queer from the past had a very gay connotation to it.
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, we've stolen the word. Just like MS, it means what you need it to mean for you at the time.
Right, right. That's true. Everyone has to individualize it. So you've been cruising along, going through the scene and visiting the dungeons and poking needles in people and getting tied up and doing all kinds of stuff, and you decided to run for self. What was that about? What did you just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to run for a title and tie up my whole year and go around the country and wear myself out?
No. Okay, so in August of 2014, I was at this little campsite called Roy's Hideaway, and I was minding my own business, drinking margarita, trying to get laid, hanging
out. Surprise!
And somehow or the other, they decided that I was going to be Miss Roy's Hideaway for the upcoming year. And I accepted because I was half lit at the time.
Okay. Fair enough.
She is honest.
Yay.
I love her. She's great.
Sorry. It sounds awful.
No, it doesn't. Then, I do the same thing. Are you kidding?
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'm processing. What does this mean? I'm a title holder. I said I would never be a title holder. And I kind of, for a couple of months, I just kind of pushed it away and didn't deal with it. And then I was at LHC Leather History Conference, and my sash brother was there. And so we decided that because we were both appointed, and we had both, neither one of us had dealt with, well, what does it mean to be a title holder when you're appointed a title? So we both decided we would wear our medallions to the formal dinner, and we would be recognized during the title holder recognition. And so a friend of mine is the one that was doing the reading, and so he got to my name, and he says, you know, Jennifer Deese, Miss Roy's Hideaway, 2015. And then, you know, I'm starting to sit down, and he looks at me, and he says, the very first woman title holder of Roy's Hideaway. And it's like, oh, shit. Huh. There's some strong implications there. I should probably do something with this, right? And so that kind of changed my perspective. And so, you know, I started talking about Roy's and, you know, encouraging people to go to Roy's, and you'll have a great time at Roy's. And self was just the next step. It was a natural progression. Self is my home. Self is where I, you know, grew up. It's where I fell down. It's where I fell in love. It's where my heart was broken. Everything happens at self for me. Like, self is the beginning of my year. And so I ran. And I won.
Yeah, you did. There were other contestants, so you know, you were out there. You were competing for sure.
They were amazing women.
Oh yeah, the whole process was great, and I know from my side of it, I had never been to a leather event, and I had never been participating certainly in that capacity with such wonderful individuals. And they left a lasting impression on me, everyone, all the contestants and the other judges. Wow. More than that. It was more than that. I know from my side, I have a much deeper understanding of leather. And everyone has their own takeaway on that, of course. But I have my own understanding now, and which I didn't have before. And also the whole contest process and winning a title and feeling the emotion. For years, I considered it to be more of a popularity contest because I didn't know anybody who actually did it. And I didn't know what actually happened. You know, I didn't feel it until this trip. Pretty intense for me. What did you think about contests before you actually dipped your toe in the water, or is that dangerous grounds?
I had a distorted view of what a title holder had to be. And honestly, I thought that the only thing that they could be were presenters. And so for me, when people started asking, when are you going to run for a title? When are you going to run for a title? It's like, I'm already teaching. I don't need a title. I'm good. Thanks. Have a great day. Go get someone else. It's been a process because, you know, I had to see other title holders that were out there doing other things in order to understand that I didn't have to limit myself to just teaching.
That's true. There was an interesting write-up on FetLife. It was put out a couple of weeks ago. And actually, I think it's an old writing that just popped up again. It talks about contests and title holders that as the process, paying homage to those that came before and respecting those that came before and did the work, what I call the heavy lifting, you know. It was a really interesting perspective, and the person writing it is a leatherman who's been in the scene for many decades. Did you have a sense of that when you were competing, that there was, I mean, you were involved in the, you know, the back room conversations. You had a handler, and you had, you know, Lady Catherine, you had that whole crew behind you.
I think that a title is more like a bar mitzvah, kind of, where you're grown up now. Just, I've never actually heard it referred to as paying homage to those that have come before us.
Yeah, it was an interesting thought that the author was sharing.
I'm not disagreeing with the author. That was not my experience.
Okay.
We were being judged by our elders, like our judging panel. Oh, my God, you guys killed me. I was so scared of all of you, including you.
No, wait a minute. You got a standing ovation.
Yes. Your speech was outrageously wonderful, and we won't even talk about your fantasy.
Yeah.
Fisting the devil. That was badass. I wish we had a video. We could somehow do a video link to this.
Actually, there is a video. If you go to TOU Dan on Facebook.
What is it?
TOU Dan.
Okay.
He actually has a video of that on Facebook. The fantasy was awesome. My speech, I forgot the last half of my speech because they gave me a standing ovation. I was like, well, I'm going to run out of time if I wait, so I'm just going to say goodnight.
Well, you were trying to manipulate the system, were you?
No.
No, not you.
No, but yeah, so I don't know that we were paying homage so much as we were being, in a way, judged worthy to represent an event that all of us felt such this love and desire to represent self, because for most of us it was home and had been for years. But I don't know that it was a homage to elders. I would really love to read that article.
I'll give the link to the article that we've been talking about, and our listeners can go on to FetLife and look it up. But anyway, it was real interesting, and I thought the author's perspective was good, and the debate in the comments were pretty interesting as well.
I can't wait to read it, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, now that you're wearing your special sash and you've got your back patch and you've got all your cool stuff. And you're Miss Self 2015, which is awesome, and you rocked it. You had everybody crying and cheering, I want you to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What are you doing with yourself? What are you doing?
A little of this, a little of that. You know, I think, first of all, I'm promoting self everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm doing that, I'm hopefully supporting other events and other venues. Both big and small. I was out at Will. I was at TLC's Run. I've taught at this little campground right near Asheville, North Carolina. I went out and taught there. I've taught at the Loft. I'm getting ready to go teach in Virginia. And I'm on my way to MSC. And so a little of this, a little of that. Marched in Pride, Augusta Pride. That was fantastic. You know, just trying to support other events, trying to connect with as many people as possible, trying to connect with women primarily, because we have so many coming out. And that was one of the reasons why I decided that it was time to run for a title, because of the influx of women and because we don't have a lot in the Southeast. And so hopefully, you know, making a little spark here and there to where people are going to want to start building those things for us.
That's terrific. And, you know, as a woman, I know when I was just a kid, I'd see guys and I'd see the Leatherman portrayed in magazines or, you know, images here and there. And I thought, wow, look at that. And I thought, I could never do that. I'm a girl.
Right.
I could never go. I could never hang with these guys. You know, I can't do. I just totally forgot about it. And then when I realized that, no, I really can. It's really okay. Things have changed.
Absolutely.
You know, it will be all right. And there's such a big difference between leather and BDSM in the two lifestyles. There's lots of overlap, definitely. But you can be into a BDSM lifestyle and not be involved in leather at all. And I'm wondering, can it be the other way around?
Yes. You can be completely leather and never be into BDSM.
There you go. So that answers my question, and I'm sure other people have that question as well.
And I am quite certain that if you ask 1,500 people what leather means to them, you're going to have 17 million answers.
Yes. We just did that at our Mass chapter, and the conversation was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ask 10 people, you're going to get 12 answers.
Yeah.
And a fight. My way's the true way. So you're going around the country, and your platform, do you really have a platform this year? Is it focusing on women? Is that what I heard?
It is focusing on women. You know, I'm fortunate. I love my producer. I love Lady Catherine. She wants us to make the title our own and do whatever it is we feel is right with it and, you know, have just, like, the best year. So that's what I'm doing. If it feels good, if it feels right, then I'm doing it. But mostly, yeah, I am focusing on women. I hosted a women's only play party at a run. I had a submissive come out and hosted her while she did a demo and just different conversations. And Will is a huge women's event. If you can do anything next year, go to freaking Will.
Where is Will?
Will is in Dallas, Texas. Holy crap. The only event that is better is Self.
Okay.
Right? And then, so it's Self and then Will. Yeah.
Okay.
That good.
And on the calendar, that's how they fall as well.
It is, right?
Self and then Will.
AWOL, yes.
Yes.
That's my club.
That's something that you're very active in as well. Mm-hmm. And what part of the country does that fit into?
We are located in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our bar nights are the first weekend of the month. We share a bar with the Charlotte Tradesmen, and that bar is, I can't remember.
Well, isn't your...
Butchhead.
Your sash brother is...
Is a tradesman,
Tradesman, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and my sash husband is my club brother, because we're sister-brother clubs. And so, yeah, he lives 25 minutes from me. You want to know how many times we've seen each other since we won? One freaking time. Why? Because he's on one part of the country and I'm on the other.
Oh, no. I believe that is not too uncommon.
But, so, yeah, Timothy is a tradesman. And then AWOL. So we meet the first Saturday of the month at the Woodshed, which is off of exit 32 Little Rock, off of 85. So, fun time, good time.
That's cool. And in your travels, where are you going this year?
Oh, my gosh. Where am I going this month? I am in Baltimore. Okay, so I'm going to MSC next weekend. Then I am home for a suicide prevention fundraising walk. And then I'm going to Columbia, South Carolina that night for CLO's bar night. And then the next weekend I'm teaching at the playground in Baltimore. Yay.
Cool.
And, right? Oh, my God, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's very cool. What are you teaching?
I will be up there with NC Master Ben and Wolf, and we are doing interrogation play.
I knew that.
Yeah. So, and then the weekend after that, I'm teaching rope, foreplay, nothing but rope in Virginia. And I'm rolling out a switching within dynamics class for Richmond Mass. And then I'm on the board and do a registration bitch for LHC the weekend after that. And then I'm going to ABW. So where am I not going? I'm not going to Charlotte, North Carolina anytime soon.
It seems like it.
Where I live. Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exhausting. On the road again?
Just can't wait.
So what kind of questions are people giving you when you're out there talking about what you do and who you are and what you represent? Are people receptive? I mean, you're going to places, of course, that are geared for leather folks and geared for what you want to say, but are people really, really psyched?
You know, just what is this event? Because basically when I teach, I'm teaching in smaller areas. I'm not teaching at big events or anything. So in the smaller areas, we've got people that are wanting to know about the event and, you know, how can they afford to get there and why should they come, and if they don't identify as leather, is it still okay for them to come, and what can they expect, and, you know, just the standard questions. And so that's been really good, being able to, you know, let them know that, you know, they don't have to identify as leather. They just have to come, and there's classes on everything. There's dynamic classes. There's skill classes. There's intensives. There's cigar parties. There's play spaces for women only, men only, pansexual play spaces. There's puppies, and there's littles, and there's this, and there's that. Everything. Self has everything. If you can imagine it, Self has it.
Yes, it's very, very comprehensive, that's for sure. This year, the puppies were just awesome. Just awesome. I was digging it big time.
I have to say, I love the puppies. I love puppies. I love the puppies. After the open mic portion, the puppies were moshing out. They were in the pit right next to us. And it was like, I did my open mic, and then I left, and I went and joined the pit. And I was like, oh, come here and give me some love, puppies. So that's how I decomped.
That'll work. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So you're traveling now. You've got all of your plans laid out for a good while, and you're meeting lots of folks. Are you seeing a lot of new faces, a lot of curious people coming?
It depends on where I'm at, really. And again, it, you know, at the runs or at bar night, then typically, no, it's typically the same. But when I'm teaching and or when I'm, you know, at a play party, then, yeah, there's always at least two or three new.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it. Are people hitting you up on FetLife and hitting you up trying to get information or to talk to you?
Not for information, but, yeah, there's a lot of correspondence. Oh, and I suck at returning emails sometimes, so if I don't respond to email in, like, 5 days, hit me up again.
It's because you're on the road somewhere? Is that what you're saying?
Right, usually. If you really want to talk to me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Okay, listeners, you heard it from Jennifer herself.
Seriously, because I'll read it on like a Friday and think, oh, I'll respond to that on Monday, and then Monday I'll just have forgotten.
So if you could change anything right now, if you had a superpower and could change anything about the leather scene right now, what would it be?
Oh, that's mean.
I know, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, no pressure here. None at all.
Seriously, if there's something that just kind of bugs you, you know, and you're like, you know, if I could do anything like that, I'd like to change that. Even if it's, you know, like, let's build a campfire, okay, and sing Kumbaya, you know, that'll work.
Okay, so I'm going to take off my medallion and my vest. Because we all know I dressed up for the interview, right?
Of course. I can see it shining from here.
Right. And I'm just going to be Jennifer, and I'm not a representative of Self or a representative of anybody else. I think I'm tired of all the conversation about transgender. I think it's time to just open the doors and stop talking about whether they have a place and just let them in. Let's stop all that.
People in the leather community are very open to transgender people, but there's a bigger community of what I call standard BDSM players that either don't understand them or are not openly welcoming because people are different. And you could look at most BDSM clubs around the country, and a lot of them, you don't see a lot of gay people in them. You see the kind of standard hetero fare in there. And so it is time to open up a little.
Yeah. So if I had a superpower, I think that's what I would use my superpower for.
Well, that's a very lofty and worthwhile use of superpower.
Right.
But I agree.
You're welcome. Ask the questions.
I agree with Woody that there's much too much emphasis and well, not emphasis, that's the incorrect word. Just seems to be just a lot of hetero.
It's a knowledge gap, I think.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, people don't think about it, and so they don't relate to it.
That could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that Guy Baldwin said on the Kinky Cast a while back is that once it all becomes homogenous, and, you know, 50 Shades infiltrates the vanillas out there, the uniqueness of our lifestyle is diluted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're no longer the special person anymore. And he says that is also true for the gay community coming into the hetero community. You know, in the gay community, it's kind of an exclusive club. And
yes.
If they're playing in a play space with hetero people, it's not the same secret sauce.
Got to think about that for a minute. Yeah.
I'm trying to. There's a different energy. There's a different energy when you're in a male space. Well, I assume there's a different energy. I'm not well there. There's a different energy for women's space, and there's a different energy for pan space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just have to be aware of the energy differences when you're choosing where you want to go.
That's true, yeah.
So I don't know that there's a secret sauce, but the energies are different.
I think that what Woody was alluding to and what Guy Baldwin may have been alluding to, I'm not going to even try to guess what, you know, speak for him, but I'm thinking that the edge, the magic, it just becomes another day at the park.
And you look at rough play, especially in the gay male community, they can play really rough with each other. And you bring in a hetero guy that's watching a guy being kicked in the balls with, a big boot. And the first thing they're going to do is squick. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, God, what is that? And it's the fear of the unknown. It's not understanding what's going on. Attending some of these more pansexual events gives you a real view into different lifestyle facets that people just don't get right off.
And that kind of encapsulates what you were saying, too, about how you would like to see, you know, transgendered folks just be welcomed.
Yeah, people play differently in different spaces. At this point in my life, I spend a lot of time in women's space. There's a completely different type of play that goes on in women's space, and I don't know that I would play the same way in pansexual space that I do in women's space.
Mm-hmm.
I came in on the pansexual side. There is a difference between the two.
Oh, yeah, there is for sure. And I think that the newer people, they aren't cognizant of that. They're just not, because they just don't know. You know, it's just...
Exactly.
It's just, there's just so much coming at one time. I mean, I witnessed some scenes the other day, and it was with a newer person, and it was the person's very first experience with any kind of wax play. And, you know, it was kind of cool to see it. You know, new person, first time.
Right.
And I'm thinking of, I was just thinking, you know, kind of giggling to myself, if you think this is heavy shit...
Right.
You ain't seen nothing.
Don't go to Jen's set page.
Right. Don't go to Jen. No, don't go. No, you don't want to see 700 needles stuck in. Yeah. Well, my friend, I'm so happy to have a chance to talk to you today and to congratulate you publicly on your title and your big year this year. And I know that we're going to have great things out of you in the future. You just, you know, chugging along. I'm so proud of you and wish you all the best. Thank you very much for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jennifer, a real pleasure to hear your voice again since we heard it in June when you won the title. And I just want to remind everybody that you can listen to the full event on the Kinky Cast in our self-wrap-up show. And there's hours and hours of listening and reliving the moments when Jennifer was crowned.
You have been listening to episode 86 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. Small Bullet on behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew. I'm Max. See you next week when we hear from Dawn, Side B.